think that it is important to be a member of a local church? That's the question. And before you answer it, you'll answer it within yourself. We won't ask you to say anything. And if you do not say yes, may I ask you why? And then if you answer me, could I say to you, do you have a biblical reason if you do not believe that it's important to be the member of a local church? Do you realize that the scripture says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth? Do you realize that? That's not said about anything else. Well, now, with that being said, in the scripture, would you not call that important? I mean, along with that, just while we kind of bounce around here for a little bit, what does it mean to be committed? What is commitment? What is dedication? What does it mean to be dedicated? Committed. What does that mean? You understand, I hope, that that is, those two words in description, that's not like anything else. Commitment is not like anything else. Now, the fact is, the Lord Jesus committed himself to us when he went to the cross. Huh? And in so doing, he completely fulfilled the purpose of God, his Father. And it cost God his Son, and it cost God's Son his life. And then we are reluctant about commitment? Excuse me. This is not all there is this day. From the standpoint of normality, there will be a tomorrow. But there may not be. And from the standpoint of my health, I feel great. But that doesn't mean that I will feel the same way tomorrow. But there are some things that never change. Our Heavenly Father, from the standpoint of who he is and what he is, he never changes. Always the same. His Son, and it's not an effort on the part of his Son to be committed to his Father. And it's not an effort on the part of the Holy Spirit to be committed to the Son. It's not an effort. Do you know why? Because it's what's right. And right there is the issue. What's right? What is right and what is wrong? Do you understand? Bless your heart, dear friend of mine. And I'll be your friend whether you like it or not. I am going to depend upon the love letter. I am. And because I am going to depend on it, I am going to do everything I can by God's grace. In my imperfection, I'm going to do everything I can to do what it says. To do what it says. That includes my life. I said to you the other day, when you got saved, you gave up all your rights. You don't have any rights. Now, do you chafe at that fact? When Moses was a baby in the bulrushes, he didn't know that someday he was going to kill an Egyptian. He didn't plan to. When he was a boy, teenager, he didn't plan to. He didn't realize that that is what he was going to do. But he did do that. And as a result, he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. And he did learn some things while he was there. And something happened in him to help him as a servant of God to see things entirely different than he had been looking at things before he killed the Egyptian. And you looked at things a certain way before you were saved. And then after you got saved, you looked at things entirely differently because you were different. And in being different, that included everything. Hello? Everything. So, when Moses finished what God had for him to do, and then God lifted him from this life into the next, Joshua had been hanging around. He was not entirely uninformed. And in hanging around and in listening and in picking up tidbits of truth, and then when his predecessor was lifted out and God came to Joshua, it was not a surprise to have God say what he said, and this is what he said in Joshua chapter 1, and I read. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass And that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now in that verse right there is commitment. God is telling his servant now, who is in the place of Moses, and now will become God's spokesman and commander for the people for a number of years. And in God speaking to Joshua, there is commitment. No question about it. It's not an if and and. It's not a but. It's definite on the part of God speaking to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. That's rather definite, is it not? That have I given unto you. That's rather definite. As I said to Moses. In other words, I've already said this to Moses. I've said this one time. Now I'm going to say it again. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast or border. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, would you help me here a little bit? Does that sound to you like God is committing himself to Joshua? I mean, just help me lest I doubt. Does that not say to you that the way that God works, and when he gets ready to do something, then he selects a man or men or people, and as he does so, when the will of God is done upon the face of the earth, it's done in and through people. And it sounds to me like, when I just read that God is committing himself in a very definite way to Joshua. You think so? I mean, just so we're clear about all this. And so, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, second time he says it, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Wow-wee. There's a lot said there. And it's all accurate. It's all definite, and it's all the result of commitment. When I was a boy, my daddy said to me one day, son, we were talking about cattle ranches and owners of ranches. We talked about horses and talking about the training of horses and the way to handle cattle and all of this. And I listened to my dad, thank God, very carefully. And he said, son, when you get older, and if you decide that you want to be the part of a cattle ranch, and he said, you go and you talk to the owner, and the owner agrees to hire you. He said, when you agree to hire on, and he agrees to hire you, and you become a part of those men that work for him, he said, always, always ride for the brand. And if a day comes when you don't agree with him and you can't seem to come to an agreement, just excuse yourself and leave. Don't make a problem for him. He hired you out of respect for him. Don't make it difficult for him. Don't agree with those who do make it difficult for him. Ride for the brand. Amen! Amen! Did you know that that's exactly what God expects of us when it comes to serving Him and doing what He wants us to do? He expects us to ride for the brand. No doubt about it. No question about it. No if and 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 but. No. That's definite. It's quite definite that you're going to heaven, is it not? Aren't you glad that God keeps that commitment with you? And that you should choose to not keep a commitment with Him and for Him? Huh? Oh, okay. So, here's God's command in the verses that are 1-4. And keep in mind that Joshua agreed with God. That's called obedience. And God gave promises. And there was a description. We read it in verse 5. God gave a gift. God promised protection. And then God gave that command in verses 6-8. And then God gave a personal promise in verse 9. And it was God's way. God has a way as well as God has a will. And you must do the will of God the way God wants it done. You don't have a right in any sense of the word to change the way God wants it done. You only have the opportunity, privilege, and blessing to obey God and do what God wants done the way He wants it done. You disagree with that? If you disagree with that, put your hand up. You must all agree with that then. Okay, good. Amen. And God's will, God's way, God's work, and my way must be God's way. That's called commitment. You know, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Well, yeah. Did you know that the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition? Did you know that? So that when you commit yourself to God, it is not all a bowl of cherries. There are some pits. And there'll come some days in your thinking and in your living and in your serving when you will face some challenges that will seem like they're as great as was Goliath to David. And you'll go to God in prayer and you'll plead with God all night. And if you'll just obey God, and if you'll just wait on God, almighty, benevolent, wonderful, generous, gracious, powerful God will do the very thing that He said He would do in His time and in His way. And it will bring glory to His name, and it will bring blessing to your life. Now, you could help me here. That sounds like a good deal. Huh? I mean, all week long here, I've tried to find something wrong, and I haven't found it. And would you like to know why? 'Cause I'm not looking. I'm not looking for anything that's wrong. And when you don't look, you don't find. And I'm so thrilled to be here. You have no idea how much I love your pastor. You have no idea. You don't. Now, I don't have to talk it over with anybody. It's settled in my mind. There is a commitment, and it ain't going to change. When I was at Bob Jones, and they, in those days, before there was such a dramatic change, they had a note system. And the guys would write a note, and somebody would carry all that basket of notes from the boys over to the girls' dorms so that from the boy to the girl there was a note that night, and she would open it and she would read it. And sometimes she'd squeal. Sometimes she'd frown. But the girls would write notes to the boys. And the envelopes always had a fragrant smell. My goodness. And the boys, including Crabapple, we'd look forward to those envelopes and to what was written on the paper inside. And I got note after note after note after note, and other fellows did too. And so during those years at school, during those years that she and I were in school, I got a lot of notes. And I am nostalgic. I kept them. Boy, I didn't stack about like that. And in our upstairs attic, we had a trunk, and I put those notes in the trunk. She didn't know. And one day, I didn't even think about it. We were looking for something. I forgot what we were. My dad had gained a, you can't do it now, but had gained an Indian eagle headdress, a chief's headdress. And he'd gotten it out of the tribe, Choctaw. And we had that headdress, and we had a pair of moccasins, and had a couple of other things that were Indian keepsakes. And they were also in that trunk, and so I decided to look for them because I wanted to see them again, and I went upstairs and we opened the trunk and they were not there. And we remember that we had some guys come and do some drywall work in the attic, and apparently they stole them. Well, of course, now you can't obtain them. It's illegal. But anyway, in that dilemma, we found this stack of notes, and my wife said, "What's that?" And I said, "What is that? Let me." I said, and it was all these notes that she had written, and I had kept them, and they were a treasure to me. And she thought it was foolishness. But it wasn't foolishness to me. And I was so thrilled that I still had them in hand. Do you know why? Because I treasured so definitely what was in those notes. I treasure so definitely what's in this book, including the necessity for commitment. Oh, yeah. Now, I don't think I have to tell you, but I'll tell you anyway. I am committed. I am. And nothing is going to take from me this commitment that is reaffirmed in this book. And I'm so thankful for the deliverance on the part of my Heavenly Father, who again cost him his Son, to rescue me, to save me, to fix it for me, So the thing is going to come when I am ushered into the kingdom. I'm so, so glad that that is true. And the commitment of my Heavenly Father and my Savior and the Spirit of God, I want to be sure that as best I can, that I keep my commitment to them. And with that being so, it does include what he said when it comes to plugging into what he calls the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen? Have you lost your voice? And so, here we are tonight in the second to the last service. And we are in a world that is a battleground. And I said to you the other day, this world is bleeding to death. It is. This world right now is in the death throes. The conditions that are developing in this world, except for God, they are frightening. And they are real. They are not just make-believe. They are not just something you see on TV. They are real. And so we commit ourselves to the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus. We commit ourselves to the one who saved us. And we are committed to him. And the gospel is the answer. Good news. That's the answer. And the word of God is the weapon. And the separated believers are the troops. And holiness is the operational procedure. So now, I want you to think with me in the next few moments. If you have your Bible or you're looking at your phone for the text, look with me at the book of Jude. Look at Jude and look at chapter, as you would. Would guess, one. In the book of Jude. And let me show you something that in my study I came across. Verse 1. This is what we are. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are, notice, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Here's what we are. We're sanctified. This is our place, this being sanctified, this being kept, this being preserved. This is what we are in the heart of God. That's it. This is our place in the heart of God. Being fashioned, hear me, to being fashioned again and again and again over a period of time to be more like God, to be more like God. That's what Galatians says, be like God. That's what Romans teaches, be like God. And so in the fashioning process, as God works on us and the Spirit is working in us, then we are more and more in obedience and commitment. We are more and more being fashioned so that we can be like God. I mean, we are secured, preserved in Jesus Christ, kept. Tereo is the word. I mean, which means to watch over, to take care of, to keep an eye on, to observe attentively. And in the Old Testament, everything had to do with a place. And in the New Testament, everything has to do with a person, and his name is Jesus. We are selected. We are called. God's call is for everyone. It's not His will that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. He calls for every man everywhere to repent. So this is individual. It's personal when we answer it. So it's a high calling. And it's a personal calling. And it's a holy calling. And it's a heavenly calling. And I must heed the Savior, and I must lead the saints as a child of God, and I must feed the sheep as your pastor does and others who teach the truth in this local church. And our possession is mercy and peace and love in this commitment. And the mercy is the upward look, and the peace is the inward look, and the love is the outward look. And we are on our way. And when the songwriter said, when the saints go marching in, and it will be a thrill, a wonderful day. Is that wedding bells that I hear? Therefore, as a servant, I am. Now, I'm ashamed of the fact that I'm such a failure, but I am indeed trying to get over it. I am. In fact, let me just say to you in this message that I am so committed to the Savior, to the truth, to the Word of God, to the commitment. If you see, hear me, don't you doubt what I'm saying. If you see me do or say anything that is not in keeping with a saint, will you please come and tell me? Huh? I mean it. This is no joke to me. I'm not a preacher because I'm joking. I'm a preacher because I'm committed. And I want with all of my heart to obey the very things that God says that I ought be in order that I bring glory to Him. He's committed to leading singing. Amen. Love it. Love it. She's committed to playing that piano. Love it. She's committed.
love it.
In the name of Jesus. Nothing could be much more serious than tonight's declaration. Nothing. So don't you treat it lightly. I am not the cat's meow. I'm simply a poor sinner saved by grace on his way to heaven. And while I go, I want to be sure that I am so careful allowing Almighty God to turn all of the stumbling blocks in my life into stepping stones so that I can be bringing glory to Him who has saved me for eternity. Now, would you tell me you can find something wrong with that? Huh? I mean, I can't find anything wrong with it. If you can, put your hand up. Huh? Oh. Well, then it must be so. Ah, wonderful. Pastor?